Let everybody say amen. Amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. It's good to see everybody this morning. It's good to be here this morning. I can tell that I'm getting older because everything that occurs to me now, that happens to me now, seems to hold on just a little longer. It used to be you'd get a cold and it was gone in a day or two. Now it tends to hold on. So that means I'm aging. This old body can't take what it used to take anymore. So with that in mind, let us remember to always be, to ever be thankful to God, our Savior, God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from John chapter 7. And we're going to take for our text from the verse of number 46, where the officers answered, "Never man spake like this." We're going to use for a subject this morning, "Never a man like Jesus." Let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, our God and Heavenly Father, thank you, O Heavenly Father, this morning for blessing us. Father, you didn't have to wake us up, but you did. You didn't have to give us food, but you did. You didn't have to have a roof over our heads for protection, but you did. You didn't, Father, O Heavenly Father, have to send the sunlight out this morning. You could have told the sunlight to just hide and stay there, but you brought it out anyway, O Heavenly Father. And even though we may get rain this day, it is your weather and we're thankful for it, whatever you send our way. Thank you this morning, O Heavenly Father, for your Son and the Church of Christ everywhere, especially those who are holding up that bloodstained banner. We thank you for each and every person in the audience this morning, and we pray for them and their families as well. We pray and ask you to be with our leaders continuously, O Lord, as they continue to guide the church, and we pray that you would give them strength, wisdom, and courage. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for all of the men who have taken part in the services thus far. We thank you, Father, for them and pray for them and their families also, that you may give them strength to carry on and to continue. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for those who may be still coming along the way, that if it be your will, you would give them safe passage to this destination. We pray for those who may be traveling and those who have traveled. We thank you for their safe passage. And, O Heavenly Father, we pray and thank you for the incident that happened on yesterday. We thank you that there were no more fatalities than there already has been announced. And we pray for safety on airplanes as we continue to use airplanes for our means of transportation as more and more people use them. We pray that they would become safer and more secure. Father, we thank you and pray for all of those families who are going through hurt and troubles right now. We pray for the violence in this city. We pray for the violence all over the world, but in particular in this city where our young people are dying all too soon, O Heavenly Father, and too fast. We pray and ask you to bless us all, Father, that we can teach something to our young people. Whatever it may be, any little bit that we can help, that we can do may be a help to them, O Lord. We pray and ask you to be with the church this morning as we move on into our services now, O Heavenly Father. We pray for those parents who are raising their children and pray that you give them strength to raise their children. And we pray that the doors of the church as they swing open, that all may enter into the kingdom of God, O Heavenly Father. We pray and ask you now, kind Heavenly Father, if it be your will that you would bless those who are sick, those who are not doing so well, and those who are doing well, let them be ever grateful to you for making them feel better. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, and ask that you continue to bless each and every member here now. And we, as we go on into the furtherance of our services, be with us, watch over, and keep us as we go through the rest of these services, O Lord. In the name of your Son, Jesus, the one who died on yonder's cross, we continue to pray and ask all of these blessings. Let us all say amen. Amen. This morning, once again, never a man like Jesus. In our world today, there are some 8 billion people. And yes, there are some who have never heard of Jesus. Most of these 8 billion people practice some form of religion, even though they know not Jesus. So we can say they are religious, but not Christians. In order to be a Christian, one must be Christ-like. The first word in Christians is Christ. Religious leaders, which there have been many, have come and gone. But Jesus was here before all of them. And he is still here and will be here after all others who may come have gone on. In John chapter 8, around verse number 57 and following, as he spoke to some of the Jews of his day, he told them, even though he was not yet 50 years old, he was before Abraham. He said, before Abraham was, I am. How can Jesus be so different? Never a man like Jesus. He was different in all aspects from other religious leaders. There has never been a man like Jesus. His birth was different than any other. Because as a man, he was born without following the course of nature. That is, without an earthly father. Human wisdom, human logic, and human science says this is impossible. Yet Jesus lived on earth for over 30 years, proving that it is possible. And how can he be conceived without going through all of the biology and the chromosomes and reproduction process? Let us simply look to the Bible. Go with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 1 and the verses number 18, and I'll tell you what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 18, and the Bible says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. All she needed was God and the Holy Ghost, and she became a mother, if you will. So Jesus was different in the manner of his birth. She did not need a man. All she needed was the Holy Spirit. Can't you see social media blowing up back then, discussing the pros and cons of how can this be possible? Well, I'll tell you how this is possible. It's all possible through God's will. His earthly life was also different. In the text, the soldiers were asking verse number 46 of our text. Look at verse number 46. The officers answered, never man spake like this man. They were asked why they had not brought Jesus into Pilate. Their answer was simple. It was simply this, never a man spake like this man. Jesus was full of wisdom and full of power. Here on earth, we have come to know how that Jesus lived a sinless life. According to the words of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 22, speaking of Jesus, Peter wrote, who did no sin, neither was guile, that's treachery if you will, found in his mouth. Those who wanted Jesus crucified could find nothing in his past nor his presence to convict him. The only way he was found guilty was by false witnesses. Even Pilate in verse 27, in chapter 27 of Matthew 24, could find no evidence of any wrongdoing by Jesus. The Bible says he washed his hands saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. So many people today are washing their hands of Jesus. They treat him like a spare tire in a car's trunk. And if you drive a car, you know how important it is to have a spare tire. Well, many of us are treating Jesus like that spare tire. We hide him away because we don't need him right now. We push the spare up under everything in our trunk and we cover it over until we really need it. And that's the way some of us treat Jesus. We cover him over and hide him until we really need him. We treat him as that spare tire. There's no need for him, so we don't pull him out. We don't need a spare tire until we have a flat or until we have a blowout. When we have a crisis, when a crisis comes in our lives, you may call them storm, but you can call them a crisis if you will. When they come into our lives, just like that old spare, we gladly pull out a welcome friend, that spare tire when we have a flat. Most responsible drivers keep a spare with them. Most of us keep spare. But how often do you check that spare to make sure it's full of air? How often do you see that it's not flat? Well, that's the way we ought to do with Christ. We ought to check in with him often and early, if you will. Early in the morning and often during every day of your life, you need to check in with Jesus Christ. Christians should be like that. We ought to check in with Jesus at all times. We ought to check in to make sure that Jesus knows about us in the living of our lives. He knows about it, but he likes to hear from us. He is with us at all times. We need to check our relationship with God, that it's in good shape. Don't be as some after the crisis do. We put that spare away, hiding the Lord away, just like we do that old spare tire. There's never been and never be will be a man like Jesus. Not only that, but his earthly death and his resurrection was different. I'm reminded of a story that I read. I am reminded of a story that goes something like this. It says that there was a man who every year he went to the cemetery. And on each and every trip to the cemetery, he would place a flower, a single flower, on a grave. And so one day, somebody asked him, said, "Who's in that grave that you put the flower on all the time?" And he said, "I've noticed you come here year after year, and you put the flower on the grave." Well, to this, the man simply said, "When I was a younger man, I was drafted into the service, but I didn't want to go because I had a wife and three children, and I didn't want to leave them." So he said, "My friend said, well, I'll step in for you." And they got the authorities to agree to it, and the man went to the service for this other man. And as fate would have it, the man in the service got killed. And now every year on the day that he was killed, this man puts a flower on his grave and he says a simple prayer. He says, "Thank you, Lord, for my friend who died in my place." Isn't that what Jesus did for the rest of us, for all of us? He died in our place, and he ought to be your friend. I know he's my friend. I count him as a friend. Do you count him as a friend? Well, isn't that what we all should be doing? In John chapter 19, and the verse is around verse number 30, when Jesus said, "It is finished," he bowed his head and died. That's a friend dying for all of us. It was not for him, but it was for us instead. It was not for himself, but each and every one of us. Never has there been a man like Jesus. Also in John 19, when they came to break Jesus' legs, they saw that he was already dead. And somebody said, "Well, we don't need to break his legs, for he's already dead." So they said, Jesus had gave up the ghost and died. Some say, and these are all the different theories out there. Some say that he was not really dead, but he was in a drug-induced coma. Well, I tell you something about that. Some say that he was just simply knocked out. Well, the theologians they have theorized all these things, that he was not completely dead. But for all of those stories, for every last one of them, none of them have been able to disprove the Bible's account.
if he were not dead, why did Nicodemus take the body of Jesus in John chapter 19, wind him up in linen clothes with 100 pounds of myrrh and spices and bury him? Though the scriptures, through the scriptures, the power of God, we know that he arose from the grave in John chapter 20. And we know that Jesus came out calling out the name of Mary as she acknowledged him by calling out, Master. If he wasn't dead, why did he lay in the grave for 3 days and three nights? Why did he come out of the grave speaking to Mary if he wasn't dead? If he wasn't dead, why does the Bible say he was dead? So nobody can disprove that he wasn't dead. So I say to you this morning, if anybody tells you any kind of story that Jesus wasn't dead, you say, well, the Bible says that he was, because the Bible says he gave up the ghost. That means he died. So you just say to them, I'd rather take the word of the Bible than to believe what man says. I know we believe a lot that man says. We believe in that doctor who gives us that prescription that we can't read. We believe in the pharmacist who fills that prescription, and we don't know what he's doing. He could be giving me candy, and many of us wouldn't know the difference. We believe in the newspaper when it gives the account of a version of a story. We believe in television news when they tell us certain incidents that happen. But yet, some of us won't believe in the Bible. Oh, I tell you something. The Bible is right. No matter what you say, no matter what people say, the Bible is right. The Bible is the account of God's work. And I trust the Bible. I don't follow everything in the Bible because I'm a human and sometimes stuff happens. But I try to do the will of the Lord, and so should you. But stuff does happen. And sometimes you find yourself wondering, and you might question some things that you read in God's word. How can God create everything upon this earth and then still be here to see about us? Well, I know the Bible says that God will make everything all right. Yes, Jesus was crucified. He died and he rose again on the third day according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the verses of 1 through number 4. The Bible account of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that right, church? Well, just because a man said it's not right, some of us like to take their word for it. But the Bible is right. The Bible is right. And if you don't believe that the Bible is right, try living without it and see what happens in death. Just wait and see. Then his heavenly home is different. Out of all the world's so-called religious leaders, there's only one, and I repeat that there's just one, who can lay claim to living in heaven. And the only one who can be acknowledged as sitting on the right hand of his Father. Oh, I tell you, that's enough proof for me right there. That's enough proof that he's sitting on the right hand of his Father, because the Bible says so. In Mark chapter 16, around verse number 19, Jesus, after appearing and speaking to the 11 disciples, the Bible said he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Now, I don't need anybody to tell me that he's not sitting there, because I don't know of anyone who's been up there and checked it out and found that he's not sitting on the right hand of God. But yet the Bible knows what the Bible is talking about. And somebody said, well, a man wrote the Bible, yes, but they were inspired men of the word of God. So I tell you, I just trust in the Bible. Never a man has there been or will there ever be like Jesus. He is the Lord of lords and kings of kings. When it comes to legal matters, if you have legal troubles, you call for a lawyer. When it comes to matter of your health, you call for a doctor. When it comes to you needing financial advice, you call for a financial advisor. When you come for your you need protection, you call a police person. So why shouldn't people who need help in religious matter go, why should they go everywhere except the Bible? And when one finally does go to the Bible, there's but one source for all of our help, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, never a man, was there a man like Jesus. Never was there a man who was like Jesus in the Godhead. Never a man like Jesus who, even though he was crucified and he died on yonder's cross, he got up again, rose from the grave. Never a man like Jesus. Those guards, when they went to pick up Jesus in verse number 46, they said, then came the officers to the chief priest and Pharisee, and they said unto him, why have you not brought him? And then in verse number 46, the officers answered, never man spake like this man. Oh, never a man, never has there been a man like Jesus. I know the world has been full of religious leaders. They have been full of men and those who claim to know Jesus and know all about the gospel of Jesus Christ, but yet they're not following the Bible. You know, I don't like to say anything, but I just heard something that was kind of disturbing to me the other day. And I just have to repeat it. I was disturbed by the folks who say that they can make somebody a saint. Now, I remember reading somewhere in the Bible that all of us who are sanctified belong to Jesus Christ already. Isn't that right? And I remember reading in Psalms where it says, blessed are the saints who what? Who die in Christ, who die in the Lord. So how can you make somebody a saint when Jesus has already made us saints? Because we are sanctified through his word. So I just have a problem with religions of today. I have a problem with people who are going to outdo God. And then I like the explanation that this one woman gave. She said she was sick and near death, and she prayed to a picture of a man, and she was healed. Now, I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. Do you? I didn't think so. But anyway, anytime you need religious advice, you ought to go to the source. All the other religious leaders who are, all of those who are supposed to be religious leaders can and never will be like Jesus. So I ask the question this morning as I hasten on to a close. What are you doing with Jesus? How are you treating him? Some of us are treating him like that dirty old spare tire, hiding him away for future use. Or are you praying and pleasing him that you give honor and glory to him each and every day of your life? This is the only life we are ever going to have. This is the only life. Believe it or not, there's no second chance. This is the only life we will ever have to serve him. Once we are gone, it's too late to love him. It's too late to serve him. It's too late to live right. Once you're gone, do you remember the story how that Hezekiah was about to die and the Lord told him, said, get your house in order. And somebody wrote that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and began to pray and call out on God. And God gave him a little bit more time. Well, I'll tell you something today. I don't know if you'll get more time if you find out that your time has come upon you. But I tell you one thing. Hezekiah went to the right source, didn't he, church? You can't go to a man and ask him to bless you. You can go to a man and ask him to pray for you. But I tell you something. Never was, never has there been, and never will there be a man like Jesus. Jesus is the one of a kind. He was there when the world was created. He was there when God parted the Red Sea so that the Israelites could walk through on dry land. He made an expressway through the Red Sea. He was there when Daniel was in the lion's den. He played dentist and locked the jaws of the lion. He was there when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was thrown in the fiery furnace. He became a fireman to them and put the fire out around them, put the fire out from them. Isn't that right, church? But anything that you want, Jesus already has. Anything that you need, if you just ask him, he'll provide. He'll provide for all your needs. Now, I didn't say he'll give you everything you want, because I got a long list of wants. And I know I haven't gotten everything that I want. But I tell you something. When my eyes opened up this morning, I said, thank you, Lord. I said, thank you, Lord, because when I went to sleep last night, I didn't know whether I was going to wake up or not, and neither did you. When I looked out the window, I saw the brightness of a new day. I said, thank you, Lord, because I didn't know I was going to get another day. But I got the beginning of another day. I don't know if I'll get all the way through this day, but I got the beginnings of it. And I tell you something, church. When you need help, there's no better help to go to than the help that you can get from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He helped us out of one main situation, but he can help you out of others too. And how you say, can he help us out? How can God be God to all the people at the same time, everywhere in the world, all at once? Because he is God. Because he is God. And I tell you another thing about God's goodness. If it rains today, somebody has been saying, well, we don't look like it's ever going to stop raining, because I said it myself. But you know what? If it didn't rain, I'd still be complaining, because I'd be talking about how the food going to grow. If it didn't rain, I'd be asking, how am I going to get a drink of water when I turn the faucet on? If it didn't rain, I would ask, why and how are the flowers going to grow and the grass going to stay green? So let it rain. That's all I'm saying. God will send the weather the way he wants to send it, because he is in charge of the weather. But the one thing I know, that if you serve him right, he'll love you just like he's going to love you anyway. But if you love him back, he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that you can't keep up with. So how do I get to be a part of this wonderful session? How do I get to be a part of this wonderful and special thing that God, things that God can do for me? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, and you become a member of the Lord's body. Somewhere a long time ago, somebody said, I did that, and it just doesn't seem to be working out for me. Well, maybe it's you that caused it not to work out. Maybe you need to examine yourself. Maybe you need to look back in your life and say, where did I go wrong? But the one thing I do know is if you do right, God will do right by you. Now, does that mean I'm not going to get sick? Does it mean I'm not going to have this cold that I got seem to have now? No, it does not. Does it mean I'm not going to run into trouble? No, it does not. Does it mean I'm not going to have storms and problems in my life? No, it does not. It simply means that I have somewhere I can go when these things hit me. And I tell you something, there's no better place you can go to, but where could I go but unto the Lord? Where, oh, where could I go but unto the Lord? So if you want to be in a position to be able to call up on the Lord and ask him for his favors and blessings, you need to become a member of the body of Christ. And then you can live and live righteously, and God will help you to be blessed and continue to bless you. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.